Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, episode 1249. I'm your host, Harry, joined today by Luca, and returning now regular guest, Josh.
Hello.
Who we can't...
Don't sound so full of contempt.
Not really a guest
who we can't
anymore,
really
are
get
you?
Rid of. It's like you're a permanent fixture in the office again. And today we're going to be talking about some further developments with the Arena Zarutska incident that happened in North Carolina in America, how we should never relax, and how the Japanese are fighting back on immigration. Before we get into that, I've been told to inform you all that in celebration of the rise of Gammonzilla, we have some new merchandise for you, which is the Gammonzilla two-tone mug, which
only
is
in the UK store.
Only in the UK store, and that is available for $14.99. So pick that up while you can, because I think you'll be very proud to be drinking your morning cuppa with the presence of Gammonzilla there to help aid you.
He is a reassuring presence, I think.
He's a cheery chappy,
mm-hmm.
Certainly. So anyway, moving on to the first cheery news story of today. So I, like many of you, have been assaulted over and over and over again with the horrifying images of the murder of Irina Zarutska, who was murdered by DeCarlos Brown, who is the suspect in the case, whilst on a public train in North Carolina. I think that was at the end of August. We have been drip-fed over the past few days the images that have been coming out of this. Slowly but surely, we've had little snippets of the video and some still images that have been shared about, and now the full 18-minute video is available on social media. I'm not going to show any of it. I have watched enough of it. It is horrifying and tragic to see the final moments of this young girl's life taken for literally no reason. And I think that's one of the reasons that this has been so shocking to many people, which is, in a sense, it's similar to the incident that happened last year in Southport, where Axel Ruder Cabana murdered a number of young white girls for absolutely no reason. This was DeCarlos Brown, a black man, murdering a white woman on the train. No provocation, no incident. In many of these cases, there are at least some political factors that can be pointed to instigate this. In many of the bombings that we've had in England, they have a motivation that is religious and or political. In some of the incidents, like the murder of David Amos, similarly, it could be argued there was a religious or political motivation for it. This was just a young girl, 23 years old, steps onto a train, sits down, minding her own business, relaxed, not paying attention to the dangers around her, stabbed, murdered, gone. For no reason. Like that. And I think that's one of the reasons that this has been so shocking to people, was the senselessness of the incident. And many people have been trying to point to non-racial reasons for this incident happening. The fact of the matter is that this is a racial incident. This cannot be classified in any other way other than a racial incident. Many, like CNN, have spoken about how DeCarlos Brown suffered from schizophrenia, which exacerbated this, and how he'd been in and out of prison. Well, he'd been arrested and charged 14 times, which is definitely very relevant to this case, which is why he was on the streets, is because he was let out by a judge. He was allowed to roam the streets by a judge.
But one of the dimensions that makes this case so awful is that it's so obvious what should have been done to prevent this, right?
Yes, it is a problem with the system, which I'll get on to in a moment. And of course, schizophrenia and all that, that does exacerbate his likelihood of committing violence. But the fact of the matter is, this is not a lone incident. This is something that plays out across all cities in America, wherever there are racial divisions that meet with one another. Violence necessarily erupts in sometimes the most senseless manner. And it is horrible to think of it this way. I don't like thinking of it this way. You probably don't like thinking of it this way. But the fact is, It's been racial as long as I've been born. It's been racial for long before I was born. Anytime there has been an incident over the past 10 years, and you can go back to George Floyd, you can see Daniel Penny and the persecution that he had to undergo. You can go to Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, any of these people. In Britain, you can go back to the 90s with Stephen Lawrence, and even before that with the Brixton riots in the early 1980s. They've always made it racial. These are not the terms that I wanted. These are not the terms that I was brought up with. I was brought up to think that if you made it racial, then that was the greatest crime imaginable. But we know that immediately after this crime was committed, that he was caught on the camera, which recorded the entire incident audio as well, that he was saying, "I got that white girl. I got that white girl." And you might be able to say that, oh, well, he was just pointing out a descriptive factor. But no, whether or not he was schizophrenic, he chose his target.
I don't think it, you know, given the nature of crime in the United States and the massive overrepresentation of black on white murders, basically, which is not reciprocated the other way around, just to be clear. We can piece together that perhaps there is a problem in the United States of black people hating white people and wanting them to die, basically.
And of course, that's not all of them.
Of course.
I don't want to say that this is every single person. There are plenty of good people out there of all heritage and backgrounds. But we can't ignore the facts. We can't ignore that this shocking image is something that has deeply upset myself and many other people. Because America is simply at a further stage along. The cities of America are simply a few steps ahead of where the rest of the West is going. People of the same background as DeCarlos Brown are flooding into our countries and flooding into our cities. And many, like myself, are seeing the fate of this young girl and the horror and terror of her last moments and seeing that could be my daughter. That could be my wife. That could be my mother. That could be my sister. That could be anybody that I care about. Not to mention the fact that her life in itself had value. She was a Ukrainian refugee. She'd fled a war zone. Frankly, she probably would have been safer staying there. She came there expecting to be safe, and she wasn't. And what was the situation immediately after it happened? What was the reaction to the people around her who also were not white? Confusion, amusement, just sat there, wondering, oh, what's going on? And you can see the blood. None of these people leapt into action.
Total apathy.
There was no Daniel Penny there to save her. Daniel Penny, who was dragged through the courts, a big public show trial that thankfully he managed to come out of the other side of without going to prison, for preventing a situation like this. Daniel Penny prevented a situation like this. When you have a maniac, insane black man on a public transport system saying that he's not afraid to go back to jail, he doesn't care who he takes with him, he's not afraid to die, you do what Daniel Penny did. You protect the people around you. And this poor girl had nobody around her to protect her. She didn't even have anybody to call the police straight away because they just sat there.
One has to wonder whether these people would have done the same were it a white guy assaulting a black person.
Oh, no. We know what happens in that situation.
Oh, Charlotte would be burnt down.
Charlotte burns in that situation. But that's not what happens. The mainstream media ignored it until they couldn't anymore. This was just something that was supposed to be forgotten. But we won't forget. We shouldn't forget. This is an image that you can't see right here, but caught on the camera. Part of it was that there was some guy just stood at the side filming. I don't know what would compel somebody while a girl is bleeding out and other people are trying to help to just stand there filming her last moments.
It's one of the darkest realizations of the times we live in, that someone could murder you in cold blood and there'd be people around you so indifferent to your suffering that they'll pull out their phone and record it, presumably to put on like social media for their own benefit.
Sick.
So it's like constantly being surrounded by vultures at all times. You don't know, you know, when they're going to swoop down and pick your bones clean, but it just ruins the feeling of being in a place, doesn't it, when everyone around you is just out for themselves.
Yes. And again, there are other factors in this, such as the fact that he had schizophrenia, but that kind of ignores the fact that there was a massive systemic aspect to this as well. And we've heard so much about systemic oppression, systemic racism, systems that cause this or that kind of problem for the poor minority communities. That was the whole reason that Britain had to upend its policing system in the late 90s after the Stephen Lawrence report, was the supposed racist, internalized racism and failings of the police system that refused to convict the people who presumably killed Stephen Lawrence, even though that was more to do with the lack of evidence that they would have been able to convict them with. We all know about how the system has failed so many people. Well, how about the fact that the system failed this young girl? The fact that this man was charged, arrested and charged 14 times, still allowed to roam the streets. How about the fact that he had a brother who it's been found out through this old news report from about 13 years ago, who also shot somebody, shot some random guy in the face. So there's a family history of violence here. What a surprise. What a surprise. Just shoot another guy in the face. Why? Who knows? He wanted to steal his phone. Guess he's got to die for that. A common story.
I think this hits particularly hard for me as well, because my little sister, my younger sister at the minute, is in the Carolinas in the United States. And I was just thinking, well, that could have been my sister. And it makes me worried, actually, you know, obviously. It's like, wow, is it really as bad as this? Is she going to be safe?
I think a lot of people are feeling the same.
And I imagine if you live there,
I worry
even worse.
Future.
Yeah,
this sort of thing is coming to all of us, unless something can be done to stop it, whether that be remigration in Western countries or whether it be something like severe policing of ghetto communities in America. People like to go on about how the drop in crime in the cities of America in the 1990s could be explained by this factor or that factor, say about how they took the lead out of fuel and lead might have been causing an excess of violence in the 1980s. None of them like to point to the fact in 1994 Bill Clinton passed a huge crime bill that massively increased policing in cities. They don't like to point to the most obvious factor. They try and come up with some abstract reasoning here, some esoteric theory there, when really, perhaps, it's just policing criminals that might solve some of these problems in America.
I find the attempts to remove the agency of the people doing it really disgusting and distasteful, in the sense of, it's like, oh, they're, you know, these people are doing it because of lead in their water. Really, they're a victim. It's like, are you for real? You think that any amount of lead in the water is going to lead you to do this sort of thing? I don't think so.
It's grasping.
Mm-hmm.
It's grasping when the answer is obvious. Obvious to everybody. But no, instead now we get the system that lets men like this just walk the streets. Walk the streets. Judge Teresa Stokes, the woman who at the beginning of this year let him walk the streets, come up with all sorts of excuses, but the fact of the matter is, as far as I'm concerned, if he's been arrested and charged 14 times, including for threats, robbery with dangerous weapon, felony larceny, that perhaps this is a man who's better off of the streets, especially when he also suffers from schizophrenia. This man was a risk to all around him. He was a ticking time bomb. And sadly, this girl was the victim of that. The victim of a system which is not built for some people, that can't work with some people, that isn't blind, and we know that it's not blind, or Derek Chauvin wouldn't be sat in a prison cell right now over trying to restrain a man who overdosed on fentanyl underneath him. Justice isn't some kind of neutral participant in this, as much as people would like to try and suggest that it is. And we can see, again, well, what happened in the local county, Mecklenburg County in North Carolina, where this happened? Well, 5 years ago, $3.3 million was donated from a left-wing NGO to safely reduce the jail population. Are they also going to be, should they be held accountable for it?
Yes.
I would argue yes.
Yeah, absolutely. These sorts of people are complicit in these sorts of crimes, right? Like the same people who say refugees welcome and then a refugee murders someone. Well, you facilitated that, didn't you? Because it wouldn't have been the case otherwise. And people have to be held accountable for what they're arguing for. You know, if I said, you know, we're going to introduce alligators into schools and then children start getting bitten, I think it would be fair to hold me accountable. Why then, when it's other people that we're talking about, is it any different? Especially when it comes to keeping people safe. I think that all other considerations should go out the window when the safety of your own citizens is in question.
Absolutely. And then there's the other aspects of this. These are somewhat unsubstantiated, so if this gets corrected at a later date, I apologise, but there are allegations going around at the moment that the judge involved in this both has some kind of director of operations position in a mental health services, a clinic in Charlotte, North Carolina, so some are suggesting that she might be trying to direct some business that way. Of course, those are allegations, unsubstantiated as far as I can tell right now, but there are also allegations going around that she may have never passed the bar exam. According to some, and according to people who have consulted with Grok, if you actually check for yourself on the bar registrations in North Carolina, her name doesn't show up, which would seem to suggest that perhaps she was put into that position through affirmative action or some other kind of leg-up service that is provided only to certain types of people. And that's, again, another reason that this has to be considered racial, is because the entire system is set up in a racialized way to disadvantage whites.
Would she have released him all those times were he of a different ethnicity to herself? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think so either. The fact is, the system put him on the streets. And the system probably knew, the people in the system, knew that he would do something dangerous. Maybe they didn't think that it would be quite so bad, but they knew that he was a risk to others. He'd already committed violent crimes. He was schizophrenic. Of course, put in the wrong situation, he was going to do something that would hurt somebody. And it's not about socioeconomic factors either. This isn't something that can be explained away through poverty or a lack of universal healthcare. This is a fundamental problem. This isn't about rehabilitative justice. As far as I can tell, he had been given some kind of rehabilitation, some kind of medical care. Didn't work. It didn't work. You can't fix this. This is about the powers that be wanting there to be chaos and murder in the streets. They want you to be scared. They want you to be unsafe. They want you to be in danger. The system made this happen. Therefore, the system is broken and it needs to change. And it's up to the powers that be in America, people like, as much as I'm critical of him, people like Donald Trump, who is in the ultimate position of power to do something like this right now, to try and bring peace back to the streets of American cities. Because it may not be the kind of large-scale rioting and burning down of the streets that we saw in 2020 during the George Floyd riots, but still, there is a low level of murder and chaos going around every single day, and we're starting to see it here as well. There needs to be somebody who can rein in that power. And at the moment, the only person who's in that position is somebody like Donald Trump, who released this video speaking about it, saying that we have to be vicious just like they are. It's the only thing that they understand. We can't allow these violent repeat offenders to continue spreading destruction and death. And he has threatened to send in the National Guard into Chicago, the same way that he did with Washington, D.C. And people aren't going to like it. There's going to be some people who are saying that this is an overstepping of power, but if you want there to be an actual country to live in, then somebody needs to use executive power to do that.
It's long overdue, if anything. Mm. I mean, there needs to be a thorough clearing out of Chicago. It's an unacceptably dangerous city, and all you're doing by being soft on the people that are making it that way is punishing everyone else. There are the means to fix these problems, and they should be taken. You shouldn't have any mercy for murderers. I don't. You shouldn't have any mercy for people who are randomly violent. because they're awful people. They don't deserve mercy. And that's how justice should work.
And it shouldn't be considered some kind of exacerbating factor to not put them in prison if they're not in control of their own faculties. If they are so... If they have such a lack of control that they are not able to stop themselves from randomly murdering strangers in the street, that's more of a reason to lock them up. That's more of a reason to inflict capital punishment on these people. And to fast track it, do not have them waiting around in a cell at taxpayer expense for up to 20 years. That's the average span people spend on death row, as far as I'm aware. No, that is a waste of people's money, purely for the sake of a system that exists to get these people off and into your streets. No, it needs to be fast-tracked.
The entire prison system is predicated on this faulty assumption that people can change as well. I'm personally not convinced. And, you know, obviously I've spent an enormous amount of time studying psychology, and I don't really ever see any evidence of people getting better. You may remember that guy I covered that went on the Joe Rogan podcast saying how he was reformed and how...
Oh, I remember him. And then he find a decapitated head in one of his apartments or something.
Yeah, in a freezer.
Yeah.
And that was a month later, and when he was talking about the importance of rehabilitation and giving people second chances.
Who was the organization behind that as well that he was representing? He was on there with a representative with who try and use very, very flimsy DNA evidence 20 years down the line on cases to try and exonerate people who were clearly
and get the wrong
guilty.
People convicted
as well. The Innocence Project.
That's it, yeah. Irony there.
The Innocence Project, who had been heavily funded by a load of celebrities after George Floyd, who decided that they wanted to donate money to making sure that these people are back out onto your streets. But that's neither here nor there. Again, this has been quite radicalizing for a lot of people. Elon Musk, who, again, I have had my criticisms of, keeps skirting the line with these things as more and more incidents like this happen and more come out like this. Responding to Andy Ngo, who was pointing out that the killing of Irina was far more brutal than George Floyd's death and should be met with a far more severe reaction. Elon Musk says they don't understand what's coming, but they will. In response to Matt here, pointing out, posting one of these screenshots, he said this has been happening at scale in South Africa for a long time. And then he also started posting graphs pointing out the differences between crime rates on race, this one being the murder rate by race. This is all stuff that you cannot ignore.
And also the fact that it goes up dramatically around 2020, well, we all know what happened, right?
Yes.
So the most feasible explanation to this is that it was racial resentment motivating that dramatic increase.
Yes, but interestingly enough as well, this is the murder rate by race. The victim rate by race also went up for blacks at about the same rate. So they just began killing each other.
As is often the case.
As always happens. But again, we weren't raised to think like this. We were raised... I was born in the 90s. Mm. I had the post-90s ideological framework pushed on me when I was younger. I wasn't raised to think like this. I was raised to be colorblind, anti-racist, all these things. But the fact is, reality hits you smack hard in the face. Mm. And you begin to recognize that there are differences that can't be ignored. And there are some people who try and excuse this. There was this guy, Van Jones, who, by the way, said explicitly that he wanted the white majority of America to go to a minority, and that's what they like. He came out defending this, saying, well, trying to excuse it, sweep it aside, saying that the man who stabbed Irina Zarutska was hurt people.
Disgusting.
Is there any planet where this man, any timeline where this man would be making the same arguments for anybody who wasn't of the same race as him? No. No. Obviously there wasn't. There are the typical idiots saying that this is the natural response to 400 years of white oppression. What about the past 70 years in America of black on white violence? Of the cities going up in flames every few years because the media decided to report on some police incident that before body cams, everybody just assumed was racist for the sake of it. Remember when Derek Chauvin and George Floyd, that all came out and they waited months to release the police body cam footage, because as soon as everybody had it, they went, oh, clearly this guy overdosed. He still went to prison for it. So what should our natural response to this be? It's an open question. There is the selective empathy of some people, like this guy, Evan loves botting his posts, saying there are 50 murders in this country every day, and these people only care when it fits their narratives. Well, I've got a good guess at who's committing those murders every single day, again and again. Who could it be? Whoever could it be? And then he says that, the real solution would have been if you implemented my ideological framework onto the world. Then this wouldn't have happened. Because if you'd just given this guy free healthcare, he wouldn't have murdered people.
Right. When pressed, his ideological framework seems to be whatever can maximize harm to white people. Every time.
That's always the way. That's always the case. Of course, when pressed on this by Carl, he says, yeah, basically, maybe he shouldn't be in society. He would probably need to be in some kind of asylum. I agree. If that was the most peaceful solution to it, then yeah, he should have been anywhere that gets him off of the streets. But that's interesting that even when pushed on this, some insane progressive like this has to admit that, yeah, maybe there are some people who shouldn't be out in society. Maybe if you're a 14-time... you've been arrested 14 times and charged 14 times and you're schizophrenic and you've already committed violent crimes, maybe you shouldn't be on the streets. Maybe that's something that we can actually all agree on.
There are some people that are just incapable of ever being a contributor to society. They can only be a burden.
Yes, and even worse than the usual suspects that we expect to see on the left, there were people on the right who, for a brief moment, about 12 hours a couple of days ago, decided to try and almost find some kind of moral excuse for it by posting this picture of a girl that we don't know who this is, but everybody claimed was Irina, laying on a bed in a room that had a Black Lives Matter poster on the wall. Like, even if this was her, which we don't know, it doesn't seem to show up on any of the social media that she had that anybody uncovered, that would somehow almost justify it. The idea that, oh, well, she supported it, so she gets what she deserves. Women, don't they just vote and think stupid guys, huh? No. That's not how this works. If you think like that, you are morally reprehensible. And anybody who tried to share this around to almost excuse what happened, to have a laugh and say, well, what goes around comes around, that's sick. You should be ashamed of yourself.
What I said about this when I saw it going around was that she was a Ukrainian refugee. She couldn't be expected to know the nuances of America when she'd only recently arrived there and came from Eastern Europe, which doesn't exactly have the most contact with American culture of anywhere in the world. So I think that people should perhaps be a bit more charitable, even if it was true, right? And the actual picture itself was cropped. And it looks like it was someone else's room anyway.
It was somebody else's room. There are other people in there. It's not actually her room. And also, similarly, we don't even know if this is her. The hair looks different. The parts of the face looks different. Most of her face is in shadow. But people were still spreading this far and wide to make sure that you know that, what comes around goes around. No, that's not how we do things anymore. We recognize that this is something that's coming to all of us and threatening all of us. It doesn't matter if your sister is an idiot shitlib. It doesn't matter if your mum is a boomer who has 60s opinions on things. This is coming to all of us. We don't get to be selective in that way anymore when this is what's coming to our towns, to our cities, to our shires and villages. Again, people were pointing out, This is not even potentially her. It's not on her social media anywhere. So please calm down. And then, again, to return to the facts of the situation, according to the actual figures that we get on interracial violence that happens in the US, 84% of white victims are killed by white offenders, and for cross-racial, whites kill blacks at 1.25 per million whites. Black kill whites at 13.8 per million blacks.
That's, of course,
statistically, that's an insane difference.
It's a massive overrepresentation, isn't it?
Especially when you consider the population difference overall represented within America as well. That is insane. And it shouldn't be ignored.
Well, it's a problem that I think people have ignored, and it's really quite frustrating because the trend has been talked about for quite some time. Mm. And all it is basically moral cowardice. You know, very few people are willing to put themselves out there and say, listen, we can see what the problem is, and it's specific to a specific demographic targeting white people, basically, because it makes them sound bad.
I've seen more than just that one person I already highlighted trying to laugh this off and say, well, we don't care about you. Okay, then why should we care about you? Why should all of our efforts across not just America, but Europe as well, Britain, why should all of our efforts be directed to make you comfortable, to pay for your welfare, to give you housing? Why should we care if this happens and you laugh? And again, this isn't everybody. I want to be absolutely clear that I'm not speaking about everybody, but it is a worrying overrepresentation of significant portions of these populations. And it is terrifying to consider, because this is one of countless stories. Over and over and over again, we see the same thing. Even just 4 days later, Jared Taylor here pointing out Catlin Stratt, 17 years old, Louisiana, shot to death, unprovoked. Who killed her? This guy. Mm. This guy. You have pointed out, in London, shockingly, we have remarkably similar statistics than you see in America. Black Londoners making up 13% of the population, but responsible for 61% of knife murders and 63% of gun crimes. And that is statistics given to us by the mayor of London himself.
Yeah, that was Met Police statistics.
That they were posting about because they wanted to have some kind of community gathering where they made sure that we need to tackle this problem, but not by policing anybody, but by raising awareness of it. Like, that'll do anything. By the way, did you guys know that you kill a lot of each other? Yeah. Now what? Are you going to do something about it? You need to. Some of these people need to go away, whether that be to their home countries or whether that be to prison when you begin to actually police their neighborhoods. And let's remember as well that the statistics that the FBI has are probably already massively skewed, seeing as there is a terrible, terrible trend of people being classified as white when they are picked up, when they clearly aren't. So the real figures are still being hidden from us.
Mm.
Because we can't even imagine the true scale of what goes on. Is this guy white? Does he look white to you?
No.
No. No, he
doesn't. That surname, no.
Does this guy look white to you? Because it apparently, according to the people who picked him up, yep, he was. So how does that tip the scales, do you reckon, when we do these statistical analyses? When we look into who's actually committing what murders, is the situation even worse? Clearly. And finally, this has been a problem going on years. This is an article from Time all the way back in 1958, and it is the same problem. What were the statistics back then? 10% of the US population, 60% of the arrests for crimes involving violence or threat of bodily harm. Forced integration failed. The Civil Rights Act failed. Affirmative action failed. Now what? All right. Sorry for a very heavy segment there, chaps.
All had to be said.
And I hope YouTube hasn't taken us down already.
No, we've been all right, haven't we?
I think hopefully that segment won't go out too heavily edited when it goes out as a clip. So I'll start with the comments from Rumble. A three strikes law for judges has just been proposed by Mike Benz in the wake of Irina Zarutska's killing that holds judges liable if the criminal commits a crime within 5 years. That would be very interesting. It would be interesting to put some actual consequences on these people's actions. Far too shielded. That's a random name. The West is like Gotham, who is plagued by the worst kind of people because our hero Batman refuses to deal with them. We don't need a Batman. We need a Punisher. We don't even have a Batman. Joey, the wall. The West could be fixed quite fast if only the vicious were put away and those who advocate for them were put away with them. Mercy to the guilty is cruelty to the innocent. Everyone involved in the betrayal of our nation needs to be held accountable. Politicians, judges, civil servants, NGOs, cops, bystanders, etc. expropriate them all as reparations and jail them. One demographic at 70% is raised by single mothers. Can we admit that male productive members of society are not raised by single mothers? This did not happen in the 1950s with intact black families. Sadly, the statistics do show that this, crime rates were very similar back then as well. I do believe that family problems does seem to make this situation worse, but not as much worse as you would expect.
The psychological literature points to the fact that if the single mother actually does work very hard, it can mitigate a lot of the damages. Because there are plenty of people I know, just anecdotally, that have been raised in single mother households that are very well put together people that work very hard, and you would never know that they came from a broken home from talking to them, because they're quite well adjusted and that, you know, they're successful, polite, nice people. So it's not an inevitability. I think there are other factors, but it is still an important one.
Certainly. This whole situation is radicalizing a lot of people in a very short time. The DOJ have filed capital murder charges against Brown. Also, I believe the judge benefits financially from rehabilitation. Again, those were some of the allegations that I mentioned. I've not seen too much to back it up other than a few screenshots, and screenshots can be very misleading. Whenever a base black person points out crime, they are pigeonholed like Blair White. When she points out negative stereotypes of the queer community, and they wonder why stereotypes persist. Well, that is another problem as well. There is a definite cultural aspect to it outside of everything that we've just spoken about. I'm not one of those people who believes that culture has nothing to do with any of this stuff. It definitely does. Onto the YouTube super chats, and thank you to everybody so far who's donated. We really appreciate your support. Sees Japan in the title. I bet Josh is in this segment. Cheers from America, lads. I hope you all manage to get your country back.
I am here, but it's Luca presenting it, not me.
Yeah. From NC here, it's a wonderful place, but Charlotte is like any liberal US city. The southern sense of community doesn't exist there, as in Atlanta. And I believe that Charlotte has a 300,000 population of whites in it. It's got something like almost 900,000 people altogether. Whites only make up about 35 to 36% of it from the statistics that I saw. And one can't help but wonder that if that's part of the reason why these places are the way that they are, because you have similar, you know, liberal cities in the northern states, in places like Maine, that function, that are decent places for people to live, even with all of the Democrat dysfunction that comes with it. Neo Unrealist, I was in NYC in the early 90s when there were 2,400 murders in 1 year. By 2017, it dropped to a low of 292. We all know how. 40,000 cops plus 3 strikes law. Exactly. These policies work, and it's only because of people whining and getting these policies taken down that makes it all of a sudden the crime rate shoots up. Who can wonder why? Magnus Toth sends in $20. Thank you. There's a long list of cities in America that were great places to live 20 or 30 years ago before the diversity took hold. These were places people had moved to escape other cities that had been ruined by diversity. It's just culture. Try seasoning your food, chud. I'll take that in mind. Thank you. The judge who released him also owns the program he was released into, meaning she profits from his release. Again, that is something that I've been seeing people talking about. Shell Beach, even if that was her, all it proves is the liberal race equalism narrative killed her. That would also be true. Someone says, let's see the Austin Metcalf video now. Yeah. Yeah. And remember all of the people who were fundraising for him. Remember that fundraiser, the comments that you could see next to it saying, you're a king, black king. Good work. Show them what for. That's what they get for oppressing us. That's how far too many of them think. G'day, guys. Draw steel, launch the bow. So, on the iron, this is Rhodesia all over again. I can't spell. In the war to impose global Zimbabwe, we are all Rhodesians now. Yeah. Can't afford to sugarcoat it at this point. Yeah, and if anybody is sugarcoating it outside, obviously, there's a limit that you can say on YouTube, but if people aren't even trying to make sure they're hitting the limits, but if they're trying to really try and distract you and push to other factors, I'm suspicious of that. Like feeding a stray cat, rewarding their culture for fear of their heinous behavior only leads to more and greater extremes of violence. That's true. Anyway, let's move on to your segment.
Yes, my segment is going to be very similar to Harry's and the previous one. And of course, this has all been kicked off by the murder of Irina Zarutska. Obviously a horrific thing. And I wanted to look at just the growing trend of unprovoked attacks on people, who's doing it, how it happens, why it happens, because one of the key things about talking about crime is that people want to know how to stay safe, what to look out for. And this is going to be a bit of a difficult segment because there doesn't seem to be any clear way of avoiding it unless you just avoid places where these people are. And we're going to see who these people are soon enough. And
who would your spicy uncle at the dinner table recommend you don't go near?
I can think of a few suggestions, yes. And all of these cases are unprovoked attacks from both the US and the UK since the start of September. Currently, it's the 10th of September, so it's not been, you know, it's not that far into September, yet I have many links, which is sort of suggesting that, of course, I'm using anecdote a little bit here, but the data's already out there. We already know who's carrying out these sorts of unprovoked attacks at a disproportionate rate. But we're going to look at some specific examples, because that's what you need to avoid it. And I want you all to stay safe, because this is my main sort of practical implication of these discoveries, is not only the need for political change and how awful they are, but also how do I avoid these? How do I advise my family to avoid these things? Because I want them to stay safe. And this is, in many cases, a matter of life and death, and it should be taken seriously. And you should be able to notice the patterns, basically, between these sorts of criminals, who they are, why they do it, where they come from, what kind of places these crimes happen. And there isn't necessarily actually as clear a pattern as we would like, but there is a general picture. And I think that there are certain people that do it more often. Here's an example. This is something that happened not too long ago. Sort of got lost a little bit with some of the other news. A university professor was stabbed to death while she was walking her dog. There she is. She was walking her dog in a park that she went to regularly in broad daylight, and a man came up to her and stabbed her for no reason. And let's have a look at the man. There he is. Yeah. Harold Rashad Dabney III. He's been charged with 2 counts of capital murder in connection to her slaying. Doesn't seem to be any motivation. As far as I'm aware, the police are still looking into why he did this in the first place. It's not necessarily clear whether he even knew who she was. It seems like it was completely unprovoked and just done, you know, for no good reason. Not that there's any good reason to murder people, of course. And there's a similar thing here. This is really awful, really quite frustrating. Georgia care worker who allegedly beat 1-year-old boy black and blue released on bail. There is no reason to hit a 1-year-old child. None. None at all. And to beat them black and blue, someone else's child as well, not that that makes it any better, when they're in your care, when they trust you to look after their children, is one of the most evil things, you know, an ordinary person can possibly do, right?
This isn't just the case either of a friend saying, you can look after my child because you're my friend and I can trust you. This is a daycare worker, somebody mm-hmm. who was trusted by an institution to be paid to look after other people's children.
So there she is, Yvette Thurston, 54. She was let go, by the way, on a $54,000 bond for some reason. I don't know how you can be allowed to walk free after you beat a child. I can't think of anything worse. But there's the poor child.
Oh.
I'm not going to linger on that because it's obviously horrible. Mm. But there doesn't seem to be any real reason for it. And she also tried to avoid it. She said that, another child hit them over a dispute about a toy. But then they looked at the CCTV footage because they thought, how could a child do that to another child, right? Mm. Just in terms of physical capability. And then the CCTV showed that it was her that did it. I don't know for what reason she did it, but there is no good reason to do that sort of thing, right? So this is, it sounds like it's from Britain because it says Southend, which is a place in Essex, but I think this is in New England. So, man arrested after unprovoked assault on Southend woman. And this is a direct quote from the woman herself. I was on the phone with my mum at the time, and this man walked towards me. I saw him, but like wasn't thinking anything about it. And then out of nowhere, he just came up to me, grabbed me, and just started punching at me. I just remember screaming, "What? What's happening?" The man, identified by Boston police as Jose Edgardo Miranda Martinez, 62. So it's worth mentioning as well, you know, it's not just African Americans that are doing it. There's also people from elsewhere. And also it's interesting that he's 62 years old. That says something about the kind of people doing this, right? Because for most people, the notion of being violent in your 60s is absurd, even if it's even for a potentially just cause. People see themselves as, well, I'm just too old to be doing this sort of thing. Well, this guy's going out of his way to punch random women in the face, minding their own business, speaking to their mother on the phone. I mean, there's no good reason for this. These people should not be in a civilized society. He should not be in America. He has no claim to it. He's obviously from the Latin world, right? South of the border. Why is he here? He shouldn't be. Even if he's born in America, even if he's got multiple generations, why not send him back? You shouldn't have to bear the burden of people like this if you are a good civilization. It's far better for you to get rid of these people for the safety of your own citizens. It's not your obligation to help people like him that punch random women for no good reason. And going to Britain now, man guilty of horrific tube station double stabbing. So this shows that it's not just America, it's nothing unique to the United States. It's the kind of people that you can find in both countries. So, and I'm going to read a decent amount of this because it really goes to show the sort of horror of what is going on here. The court heard that two victims aged 44 and 42 entered Kennington Underground Station at around 10:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 27th of March. It's only been recently published, but this did happen back in March of last year. So this is the sort of statement of it. We've got the details finally. They were part of a larger group who had finished at a local dance class and went to separate platforms. So I imagine people going to a local dance class, probably not loutish antisocial people that are trying to bring harm on themselves, right? I think they're probably normal people that are law-abiding. A short time later, Green tapped into the station and made his way down to the platform. Just moments later, he launched a ferocious and unprovoked attack on the older man, attacking and stabbing him for around 20 seconds with a knife clenched in his right hand. He continued the attack even after the victim fell to the floor. Hearing the commotion, the second victim rushed over to intervene. Green then began attacking him in the same way, knocking him to the ground before other horrified members of the public intervened. Well done to the people intervening, especially to the person who got hurt for it. Those are the people that can exist in a civilization. And in fact, civilization depends on people having care for their fellow man. So massive respect to those people that actually do intervene, even though you are bringing danger on yourself.
And potentially legal repercussions as well, depending on where you are.
Exactly, which is wrong, obviously. I think that if you're defending other people, if you're defending yourself, and someone's got a knife, you should be able to use as much force as you deem necessary, including lethal force, if you have to. Because at the end of the day, why is the law prioritising the lives of murderers, of people who randomly assault people, over those who defend them? Why should people like Daniel Penny, for example, be dragged into the courts for basically doing a good and moral thing? I think he should have been rewarded, not punished.
We should celebrate the heroes.
Yeah. If anyone deserves a statue, it's people like him, right? So it carries on to say, Green then got up and made his way to a lift where he assaulted a 31-year-old woman before leaving the station. Just a wonderful bloke, clearly. Both of the first two victims were rushed to hospital. The 44-year-old victim suffered multiple stab injuries to his chest and a fractured humerus bone in his left arm. The second victim also suffered 13 stab injuries in total. These people did nothing to this man. Let's have a look at who he is, shall we? Here he is. Why is he here?
Yeah.
He shouldn't be here. People like him shouldn't be here for this very reason. Here's another one. Man slashed in the face by knifeman in unprovoked broad daylight attack on High Street. Again, another person. It's 11:45 in the morning. Just slashed in the face for no reason. I don't think there's a picture of the perpetrator in this one, but it's just going to show this was an unprovoked attack that's only recently being talked about because the information's come out, because there is a bit of a lag. But this is a very common thing. If I can just go to the news and look for things that have been published about this sort of thing in the past month, and there's a laundry list of cases, that is an epidemic. That's something that needs to be sorted out. Here's another one. London Bridge, man punched in face in unprovoked attack. So at the time, a man in his 50s was basically just standing by the escalators near the platforms of 2 and 5. And I think this is the person who's wanted for questioning. Can't really make out too much about him. I don't know where in the world he's from. But he just randomly punched someone who was waiting out of the way, by the sounds of it, by the escalators for no reason. Why would a person do that? This didn't happen before mass migration in Britain, pretty much ever. And in fact, the case of a murder or a stabbing would be news for weeks. People would know all of the details, and it would be remembered. You know, there are cases of murderers that existed long before I ever was born that I know about because it was such a rare event that it's passed on in the culture, that there's an understanding of this sort of thing, right? And now this is just regular. In fact, there's multiple cases of it in the news at the minute. It's absurd. Here's another one. Man accused of 2 Oxford Circus station stabbings on consecutive nights. So he stabbed one person and then went back again. Police have charged a 20-year-old man from Tottenham in connection with 2 stabbings at Oxford Circus station over the weekend. Mohammed Yusuf of Windsmews, I don't think he's of Windsmews actually, accused of knifing a 23-year-old man at the Tube at 3:40 a.m. on Saturday, and then a 41-year-old man was then stabbed at the same station at 1:30 a.m. the following day. Both victims were taken to hospital with non-life-threatening or life-changing injuries and have since been discharged. Well, at least that's the case. But this man was clearly going there at late at night when there are fewer witnesses, fewer people to intervene, to just randomly stab people, wasn't he? Not being discussed even as a terror attack, despite the guy being called Mohammed. Bit curious, isn't it? Why is this happening? They're going to try and argue it's mental health. Well, I'm going to argue that he shouldn't have been here. People like him shouldn't be here because he comes from a country, clearly, where this sort of violence is more acceptable. And it's not acceptable. Certainly not in a civilised country like this, or at least once civilised. Here's another one. This is all the way up in Scotland. I think it's Lanark, isn't it? Yes. So, shopkeeper slashed in totally unprovoked attack. And the details of this one are really quite worrying. Around 10 to 9 in the morning, a 53-year-old man was putting rubbish bins beside his shop, or the shop he worked at, on a road, and then he was approached and slashed with a bladed weapon by a man who then ran off towards another road. Because this is local news, they're naming all the streets, so I don't need to complicate it with that. The man was taken to hospital, where he remained for treatment, and the hospital staff thankfully described his condition as stable. Of course, he should have never been put in that position in the first place. Clearly did nothing wrong. And the suspect, which we don't have a picture of, I think is still at large, is described as male, 6 foot, of slim build, and was wearing black jogging bottoms, a black North Face hooded top, and trainers and gloves and things. But apparently, looking at the CCTV, he'd been hiding in the nearby bushes for at least 2 hours before the shopkeeper emerged from the shop. So he was waiting, presumably this happened at 10 to 9 in the morning, from about 7 in the morning, of a man waiting in the bushes, waiting to kill someone. Presumably,
and this could sound somewhat more personally motivated if he was willing
to wait. It could be, but the police have been treating it as if, well, you know, the 53-year-old man didn't necessarily have any reason for someone to be doing this to him. And so they're treating it as a completely unprovoked attack, as the headline indicates, because he's just like, well, I have no idea who would do this to me. I've not done anything to warrant this. And I can believe it, because it is becoming more common that people just randomly attack people. And it sounds like it's probably some sort of sick person that is doing it for the enjoyment of it. just from the details of the case that we know. But of course, who knows, it could be personal. These things are quite complicated and always difficult to know all of the details without having a full picture. And then the final case I wanted to look at, this is an unprovoked attack on a 70-year-old man that was also filmed, because the people involved clearly didn't intervene, the people on site, right? The victim told the town council that they were punched in the head, knocked to the ground and kicked repeatedly as the attack was filmed. While members of the public stepped in to stop the assault, again, well done for the people doing that, they gave first aid and called emergency services. The meeting was told the police response was delayed, with the attacker fleeing before officers even arrived. And when approached by the LBO, I think that's the council, and Bedfordshire police gave no details or witness appeals relating to the alleged attack, and instead said it was, this is a local newspaper, by the way, they're not necessarily trying to affect national news by reporting this, the police said it was focused on ensuring Leighton Buzzard is a safe and welcoming place for everyone. Why would they say that when a 70-year-old man was randomly attacked? It sort of sounds like they're admitting that the man that did it was from somewhere else, because why would they be insisting, we want to keep it welcoming for everyone? Of course, Leighton Buzzard is close to Luton, which is known as the home of Tommy Robinson and a hotbed of Islam. Of course,
very
there
diverse.
Is, yeah, it's very diverse. It might not necessarily be someone who's got that background, to be clear. We're not yet sure. But I wanted to end on a bit of levity, because this has been very heavy. I wanted to run a little test, because what all of this sort of suggests is that you need to be on guard when around these sorts of people. And you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know who it's going to happen to. You know, there are university professors walking their dogs. There are old men walking down the high street in the middle of the day. There are people starting their shift at work first thing in the morning. Even in Scotland, rural Scotland, where there's not even that much migration from outside of, you know, Scotland itself. It can happen anywhere, to anyone at any time, and I think this is a little bit tone deaf now, I've been so heavy, but I don't want to depress you all, okay? I want you to leave at least feeling a little bit more prepared for the world, and as such, I've got a little test for you to see if you've learnt your lessons. Here we are. I'm not going to... I suppose I may as well play the audio. You can't relax.
It's like a Five Nights at Freddy's jump scare.
Yes. You've got to always be on your guard. You can't take your eyes off of people that are potentially dangerous. You've actually got to be quite vigilant, because this is the world we live in, and I don't want it to be this way. And there are still parts of the world that aren't quite like this yet, that are still unspoiled, and we should preserve them. And what we can do, there is a solution to this, there is a political solution, that what you do is you deport these people, you lock them up, and many other things that you can do to get rid of them off of the street. It's pretty simple. And one final thing I wanted to draw attention to is people always ask me, where can they find me? Now, I'm not on Load Seaters as regularly. I do have a YouTube channel. I'd very
as
much...
I think you've got pretty much your old schedule back.
Once a week's not the same. I was on like sometimes three or four times a week. But I'd very much appreciated it if you checked out my YouTube channel. It's a nice escape from misery of politics. I try and keep it non-political. I try and look at interesting things. And so if you're feeling a bit down in the dumps, you can learn some interesting things about the world through there.
Right. May I just have the mouse?
I'll give you a box as well.
Oh, thank you. It's like Christmas.
Spoilt.
It's all coming up.
Shall I read some...
thank you.
Read some comments. Where are we starting from, Samson?
Okay, it was the feeding a stray cat was the last one that I read on YouTube.
Drubius says... I don't necessarily endorse this. Segregation existed for a good reason. I do understand why people didn't necessarily want to live amongst each other, because it does cause tensions. That's the general sentiment you're getting at. Will of the Fans says, a Brit expat in the Philippines here and aghast at the state of the UK. I explain to locals and they laugh at the concept of me having more rights than them.
It is a ridiculous thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Javier says, good day again. Lifting and listening, Deuce Vault. Hear, hear. Well done for lifting and listening. Very productive. I approve. Saz says, thanks, Josh, for reminding me why I'm a hermit. Yeah, you can feel a little bit less guilty about that if you don't leave your house. I mean, I still live in Swindon, so I hardly ever leave my flat as well, because there's no point. Why would I? I don't want to go out in this place. Afternoon, friends, says Gimli O'Gloin. After nearly a month of waiting and with the help of the LE support, thanks again, Colby and Pete, for shipping, I finally received my issue of Islander 4 today. Congratulations.
Yes, I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. If you've not ordered yours yet, are they even still available? Are we still selling them?
I don't know.
Samson, we are still selling them.
We are still selling them.
Yeah. Buy it now.
Oh God.
Don't buy them while you still can, chat. Buy it now.
Based Ape says, the fatigue of the Lotus Eaters.
I'm far beyond fatigue, but I'm YouTube friendly.
Javier again says, Crusade. And then I think we've got some Rumble chats as well. I think we've read most of these.
A lot of these come from
yep.
Previous segment.
All of those are done, so take us away, Luca.
All right, well, so we're going to talk about Japan, because there's actually good news to come out of Japan. So we'll end on a good news segment, shall we? But really, a lot of this is actually also relevant to the previous segments that we've had, because, my goodness, if there was ever a warning to Japan for the society they don't want to fall into, it's what you've obviously presented previously here today. But as you can see here, so you have the Prime Minister, or former Prime Minister, I should say, to cut to the chase, Shigeru Ishiba, and he's just announced that he's going to resign just the other day. And you have this article back from July of this year, where it says that Ishiba walks a political tightrope on immigration. Right, and obviously we, and mostly you, Josh, have covered extensively now. We've had many segments here at the Lotus Eaters covering what's going on in Japan and the civic resistance to what the government are basically trying to force on them. And it's because we identify with it. We see what the Japanese government is doing, and we know it well because it has been done to us, entirely without consent.
It's also interesting that all of this can be traced to a very specific date of November 2023, when there were negotiations between a number of NGOs about Japan's large national debt. And then mysteriously, one of the terms of their repayment is that they take in immigration. I remember this going very much under the radar at the time. So it's basically
that's very interesting that they would want to force that as part of the negotiations.
It's a weird thing for international capital to be pushing on people, isn't it?
Destroy your nationhood and economy to pay off your debts.
Also, I don't understand how it even helps their ability to pay their debts. Maybe they're, you know, the most charitable example is that they buy into the false argument that importing people from these countries somehow helps the economy and helps it grow, and then...
Which it doesn't.
Yeah, it provably doesn't. And you'd think that these large, well-funded institutions would know that. So it seems a little bit more insidious than that, doesn't it?
You can also see those globalist institutions being set up in Japan using identical rhetoric all across the board, because they have no attention to the particular character that makes Japan Japanese. It's just a one solution fits any country, and even though it's not a solution at all. And they obviously have no moral qualms whatsoever about reducing Japan and everything that makes it Japanese.
I find it very interesting that a lot of the pro-refugee or immigration messaging coming from people, whenever they're holding placards or signs, is written in English. Sort of indicates something, doesn't it? That perhaps it's not as organic as it's, you know, presented.
Aye, very telling.
Listen, we know that we have got somewhat of a decent audience in Japan right now, so let's just all be as clear as possible. If you're watching this show in Japan, you've probably seen some of the other things that we report on. They should serve as a warning. If you choose to open your doors to mass immigration from the third world, whether it's for economic reasons or moral reasons, using arguments of refugees or the desire to pull up the global south to the level of more civilized and well-functioning countries, it will not go well. You will be in the same position that we are in now, except 20 years from now. You'll be in the same position that American cities are right now, In 50 years or so. Tokyo, as far as I'm aware, is one of the densest and largest cities in the entire world with a huge population. And as far as, again, as far as I'm aware, actually functions in ways that cities in the West don't anymore. You don't have huge ghettos that are completely unlivable except for the small minority ethnic groups that live there, that make it a complete no-go zone for anyone who isn't part of their tribe. You want to keep a hold of your culture, you want to keep a hold of your history, you do not want to be told that the Japanese don't really exist, because you need to open your doors to everybody. What you need to do is you need to kick these NGOs out. You need to expel the people who are already in the country who are causing trouble. You need to keep yourselves insular, you need to keep yourselves Japanese, or else you are going to be in the same position that we're in right now, just 10 or 20 years down the line. You do not want that.
And the final stage is self-Africanization, right? Where you have to, for your own safety, stay in walled areas with barbed wire, electric fences, be armed at all times, and not go anywhere outside of your militarized compound without armed guards. This is starting to be the case in some American cities, even, where that actually might be good advice. And it's starting to happen in Britain as well, to a certain extent. And this is the end goal of what's happening, that things will be so dangerous that you can't even go outside without armed guards. You can't have a house without massive fences around it.
So to the voices telling you that tolerance is the path forward, those who are telling you that multiculturalism is inevitable, repudiate these people entirely, because they don't have your best interests at heart. Do not give them an inch, because
they are lying to hurt you.
It's really that simple. It's really that simple. So let's talk a little bit about this article, shall we? So it goes on to say that in addition to a record-breaking tourism boom, 2024, so the year after what you were saying happened, Josh, in 23, saw Japan welcome nearly 360,000 new foreign residents. And
Pardon? Where from does it mention?
Many, many places.
Well, they've recently had a partnership with Africa.
We'll get
India.
To it. Okay. We'll get to it. With the ruling Liberal Democratic Party contending with both economic considerations and political pressure from right-wing parties, Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ueshiba faces a complex balancing act on immigration. And it goes on to say that in 2024, Japan's foreign resident population soared to over 3.7 million. Primarily spurred by an influx of young migrant workers and international students, and most importantly, and this is most important statistic, the population data shows that 9.5% of the population aged 20 to 29 is foreign born, right?
That's a disastrous statistic.
This is a terrible statistic, right? Because Japan obviously has a totally inverted pyramid. I understand that you have a very aged population, and that means that these people are going to be the future of your society. And what's more, I can promise you, and I'm not saying all, but generally speaking, these people are not loyal to you, right? They have sympathies from their place of origin, which is only natural as part of the human condition.
And it carries on from generation to generation.
So don't expose yourself to it. Nip it in the bud here and now, okay? So we also have to talk about the fact that this Ueshiba, he is also, and this was remarkable, despite being a very, very small minority of Japan's population, he is actually also a Christian. And Christianity is here in the West, is our cultural and spiritual inheritance, and I hold it in very high regard over here. But I do think that this is a mistake in Japan, because it will feed into the universality that comes with Christianity. And this idea, as you can see here, Ueshiba talking at the 80th anniversary of Hiroshima and talking about drumming for tolerance. Tolerance is a mistake, right? Tolerance, yes, in measure, tolerance is important in order to coexist with other foreign countries around the world and in order to have negotiations and diplomacy with other nations. But tolerance within your own society is only going to go one way, until eventually it is you tolerating them and on, further and further, until you find, hang on, I've given literally everything away about my identity, and we have nothing.
Well, tolerance is fundamentally only a virtue if it's applied to good people.
Yes.
Also, Christianity, you've got to consider that Christianity in Japan and the West isn't the same as Christianity in other places, especially in parts of Africa. Christianity in many of those countries is purely nominal, where they have the name Christianity and they'll have churches, but many of those people are still actually practicing old pagan voodoo habits. It's very strange to see how that works, but that is the case. So Christianity could be used in that sense as a Trojan horse to get you to accept these people.
In fact, the reason that you had 300 years of isolation is because you decided, you made the calculation that actually you would rather have your own country than be tolerant of European arrivals. Also, just to say, of course, it's remarkable, isn't it, with India, how they always seem to be pressuring other nations to take their people, right?
In with main deals. Export from India is Indian people.
Yes.
Somehow.
And they like it that way.
And they've got an endless supply.
Indeed. And so you can see here, Japan and India arranging to agree on an exchange of over half a million people over the space of 5 years. A big mistake.
They're very antithetical cultures to one another. The Japanese, very orderly, very tidy. India, less so.
Less so is a diplomatic way to put it, Josh. Well played. And it goes on to say that one of the major topics will likely be expanding people-to-people exchanges, and Japan plans to accept 50,000 people from India. I note that's different to that number there. It doesn't exactly explain the difference. Is that per year? It doesn't say. You'll have to forgive me. But it expects that highly skilled personnel, particularly in science and engineering, will help promote Japan's economic growth and regional revitalization. It won't, but also what's more, as to this question of 50,000 people, I would just like to say, again, to the Japanese people listening, it doesn't actually really matter whether it's 500,000 or 50,000, because even if it is at the lower end of that scale, what you will still have is that, okay, you'll have 50,000 come in, and then they will make every effort to bring more of their people over, right? Doesn't matter how small the number is to begin with, they will feel that loyalty, that kinship with the other Indians, who I'm just taking as an example in this particular case, and what they will do is, as I say, continue to bring more and more over, because that's where the loyalties will lie.
It's sort of like Vanguard. Oh, sorry.
It opens the door, and one thing, and this is not unique to Indians, this is basically most other ethnic yes. groups outside of the West. You'll find that they will have ethnic preferences that lead them to monopolize particular industries. In America, there's this huge monopoly of motels of Indians who came over, and they started to buy them up, and they would buy up properties and give them over to their family members and use them as a way to bring more family members over so they could hire them as part of it. In England, we have loads of corner shops that are owned by Indians. Same thing that you see in lots of foreign countries across all of Europe. They will find these small industries, and it may not be as intrusive as some other cultures, but these are still jobs and positions that should be done by industrious Japanese people, that should be done by people who are of your own, who otherwise may be having to do something else, or even, I don't know what the benefits are like on Japan, but they may have to go on government welfare if they're unable to do anything else. And also, again, this whole thing, Japan has been used in the West for a very, very long time as an example of economic stagnation. This is an argument that we always use. Well, if you don't go the way of the modern world, that being westernized, liberalized, open society, George Soros style, open borders, etc., you end up like Japan, which experiences economic stagnation, so that you have a graph with the GDP and it just stays relatively level. This being done in chasing economic growth, an infinite idea of endless economic growth, is again a Trojan horse. It is a poisoned chalice. If you try this, I'm sure many economists will rejoice, but on the ground conditions will deteriorate, and they deteriorate far more quickly than you ever expect them to. Quality of life will go down. The conditions of your cities will go down, but the government will find every excuse of economic means to justify it, even if you find that you're paying twice what you used to for everything.
Indeed. And so you have here, do you want to live in Japan forever? Tokyo is offering Indians residency option for less than 5,000 rupees, I assume that means. And so, again, we have this thing where if these people go over 50,000, they stay there for 10 years, and then they work through the loopholes, and especially, as I say, if these people are allowed to stay there, people in Japan who are listening, they will create the NGOs, they will create the legal courts in order to basically help people with this sort of thing, help them move over, help things. Yes, you were going to say, Josh?
I was just going to point out that 5,000 rupees is just 41.92 pounds. So that's what, about 50, 60 US dollars?
Bargain.
Samson's shaking his head.
It's not fair.
No, I quite agree. Anyway, so all of this news, and you can tell that things, even though, again, for many people in Japan, the situation on the ground in many places will not seem like it shifted radically at this point, right? You've not got any Birmingham-style situations in Japan just yet.
They do have a problem with the Kurds, as far as...
They do, and there's only 3,000 of them.
Yeah.
And they've still got a major problem with them in Tokyo. But as you can see here, Osaka protests are just the start of Japan's immigration backlash. And it goes on to talk about as well the fact that, look, unlike here in the West, you know, in Britain and especially France, right, where... it's kind of just in our nature to protest, right? There's always a protest going on somewhere about something. This is not really within the Japanese character, right? It really takes something to spark getting many, many people out on the street in unity to protest a situation. And so the fact that Japanese people are coming out in the streets and rallying against this shows even more so the level of genuine anger about this policy that is being pursued by the Liberal Democrat Party. And it goes on to say as well that the protesters' concerns appear on this occasion to have been misplaced, because you see, what was happening was, and I'll come to this a bit more, there was a negotiation between Japan and some African nations about basically setting up some Japanese cities as homes for African nations to foster tolerance and all these sorts of things. And the
terrible idea.
A terrible idea. And the Nigerian government seemed to put this out as something that had been agreed upon. Now, if I go to just scroll across, so you can see lots and lots of protests here. And good. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see how fast the Japanese people are rallying and trying to nip this problem in the bud, trying to let it be known now, as opposed to, and all of this as well has increased, I will say, since a Vietnamese intern was arrested over a murder in Amari in the Saga Prefecture just a few months ago. But this here had a lot to do with the reason that this message was being promoted about these African cities in Japan. Unfortunately, we can see Chong here, who I'm not really interested in reporting on, but you can see Elon, where he says, look, if this continues, there will be no Japan. Just some islands where Japanese people used to live. A country is its people, not its land. So I'm glad to see Elon leaning into the correct, both morally and factually correct, ethno-nationalist rhetoric in this case, especially for a country like Japan, and moving away seemingly from his more sports team philosophy.
That's the interesting thing here. What This is a complete contradiction from what he was saying at the end of last year, where he was putting America as a place that needed more people, specifically from Indian populations, through the H-1B visa scheme. Has he just entirely gone back on that, or is it just that he views America that differently to these more old world countries?
I think after what we've seen from Elon in these past few months, we will basically just have to sit and wait until he comes back to discussing this sort of thing with the particular of America.
Yeah.
We don't know how much his opinion has shifted, but we see what he says about England and Europe and those, yes.
I'd like to think that because he posts so frequently and, you know, he has lots of obligations, that he almost certainly has someone helping him with his account. Mm. But that could not be true. It could just be that he's got a blind spot for America.
Mm. Yeah.
And he says, if... and so this is what was going around, right? This idea that Prime Minister Ishiba wants to import millions of Africans and Kurds to make Japan more tolerant, citing his Christian faith. Now, I will tell you, I looked for a long time this morning to find the truth of this, to find a source for this statement. I cannot find it, right? It seems to be a mishmash of lots of different things put together. Yes, I can find Ishiba talking about the virtue of tolerance. Yes, I can find, as I presented, examples of him bringing in more Indians and having negotiations with Africans. I cannot find this exact statement. It may well be, I can't speak Japanese, unfortunately, and go through all of his speeches. But to some extent, it kind of doesn't matter whether he said it or not, for two reasons. One, this thing is being amplified a great deal now, and this has been going around Twitter a lot, and so whether he said it or not, this has become the narrative around him. And second of all, even if he didn't say this explicit thing, it isn't exactly in contradiction with the trajectory that the Japanese government have been pushing in anyway.
Well, the fact of the matter is that when you open the door slightly... Mm. It will be swung open. Right. So whether or not he has said this explicitly, if you carry on down the path that you're on, this will be the result.
Absolutely. And so we have here the Japanese Prime Minister announcing his resignation. Now, I'm not going to say that because there were a few protests that the Prime Minister decided to resign. In fact, I can't really find any evidence that this was uniquely linked to the immigration issue whatsoever. And I just want to be truthful about that. I don't want to present some narrative that sounds glorious but is in fact fictitious. I'd just rather be honest. But what we do seem to have here is the fact that his own party was basically going to push for a vote of confidence, basically, in him, and it was looking very unlikely that he was going to pass it. And so rather than fracture his own party, he's basically decided that he'll resign and they'll let them, because his party, the Liberal Democrat Party, is clinging on with every general election with fewer and fewer seats, and especially when you have the San Sito party that has been the far-right party in Japan that has, although has made small gains, they are swift and meaningful.
It's been very rapid.
It's been extremely rapid.
What is it, 2020, 2021?
Indeed, so in
like
5 years, and now
I
they have...
It's not even that much, it might be 2022.
Mm. Mm. So things are moving very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. And so even though he cites reasons of the trade agreement between Japan and America, and now that that's all been tied up, he feels that he can step aside in order to save his party. I would just say to Japanese people listening, try and keep the pressure up on the immigration issue. Do continue to protest and do continue to remind your government that this issue is one of the most important in the long-term survival of your nation, right? Because this is a very, very long-term issue. You have to stay on this and you have to stay on it hard, because they will be looking for every excuse to slip more and more immigrants just in through the back door, and they won't be open about it because they already know you hate it. They already know your answer, and that's why they'll do it in secrecy. So continue to be active, continue to be vocal, and hopefully push in whatever way you can. As someone who's not an expert on how you do things in political parties in Japan, but try and push to have a prime minister who is sympathetic to your concerns on the question of immigration.
All right, then. Shall we go through the rest of the super chats? Do we have, while we're doing that, do we have any video comments that need loading up, Samson?
Let me check.
Oh, yeah, I think we're at the top on the Rumble rants, aren't we?
I think on Super Chats, there's one for me. $50 from Plague Lord Ardoff. Almost said a different name that sounds somewhat similar to that. Saying, regarding my segment, we all owe it to Arena to watch that video in its entirety. It'll be hard, it'll be painful, but not nearly as painful as her last moments were. We need to sear that image into our memories so we never forget what our blind tolerance bought us. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that for everybody, but I did sit and watch most of it.
It was
pretty horrifying. Pavilion P, cheer up, Harry. We'll win in the end. You've come to us at the turn of the tide. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's nice when our own audience is trying to cheer us up, isn't it? I mean, that's how you know it's bad.
Yeah, Dave, $20 as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
My family business is at one of the most dangerous zip codes in America. This year, we've witnessed 2 carjackings resulting in high-speed crashes and regular gunfire. Theft, drugged-up vagrants, assault, etc. are common. Really sorry to hear that. I hope that you all stay safe and can get out of there as quickly as possible. That's the ultimate result of the Civil Rights Act and everything else, isn't it? James Kirkpatrick puts it well that, you know, the point of life in America now is to earn enough money to get away from those people and those neighborhoods.
I'll just read one or two. We've got, should just say as well, I believe we have a live round table at 3 o'clock, don't
we? Yeah, so we can't overrun.
So that's why
it's
we're
my fault.
Being sorry, swift on the Rumble round.
My fault for going over so far, so long on my segment.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Over by five.
Okay. I was just going to say, Habsification says, yeah, these Japanese YouTube channels that translate the Lotus Eaters segments are having an effect. Well, they are being seen by hundreds of thousands of people, and this is why we obviously feel a need to continually come back to this, because we know that these are being seen by Japanese people.
I've had lots of Japanese people reach out to me, in fact. Mm. It's very interesting that it's now had millions of views, and obviously Japan is a larger country in terms of population than Britain, so it means slightly less, but it's going to have some effect, right? And especially considering a lot of the West is neglecting talking about it. And I think that it's a mistake because, as far as I see it, there's a sort of playbook of immigration. It starts off like Japan, then you get to Europe, then you get to the US, and then you get to South Africa.
Yep.
And then you get to Rhodesia after that.
That's a random name has said that he's going to make a collage like those online collages of dead-eyed criminals' mugshots. He's going to do one like that, except of my face from these segments. I have seen the footage looking back. I do look kind of dead-eyed during these, but this is because this is the mask that I have to wear during these segments. Otherwise, I would be like rage and not YouTube friendly.
Do you want to go to... Yep.
Oh, we're good. Yeah.
Contrary to common assumptions, Pakistan did not gain independence directly from Britain. Instead, it became independent from India, which itself achieved independence from the United Kingdom one day later. Pakistan remained a constitutional monarchy with both King George and later Queen Elizabeth until the country declared itself an Islamic Republic in 1956. Pakistan is literally a made-up country created by Muslims halved up from India.
It's very true, yes.
Yeah, and what's more, the reason that like Pakistan's founder, like Muhammad Ali Jinnah, pushed for it so hard is because they knew that if they existed within the nation of India, that they would be a minority in that country and would basically be forced under the tyranny of the Hindus. Yes. And so they wanted their own ethnic and religious autonomy.
Why did they come here then?
Although I do find funny when you see those pictures of it. It's the same man, except one's got the Pakistan, one's got the Indian.
Yes.
I hate your kind. Don't come around here.
In spite of all the progress that has been made by MAGA, I cannot but think that we in the United States are in the middle of a thaw, similar to what happened within the Soviet Union back in the 50s or so, whenever Stalin died. Because Biden did get kicked out, sure. However, he still appointed a lot of his creatures all over the place. And hopefully the momentum will continue, but Trump is, you know, pretty much been carrying the entire team. So there's that.
I think part of the reason that the Soviets were able to continue after the death of Stalin is that the terror was so complete, that the purges were so deep, that there was no one to depose them, in a sense. Mm. Like, even loyal party members were purged, even innocent people were purged, you know, millions of people died. It's enough to keep things sort of placated and carry on, whereas in the US that thankfully hasn't happened.
Damn effective though.
Mm. Thanks, Harry.
What's the truth?
Need to grab that look, mustache. Boys, yeah, the cracker just walked in there, ballied up. Yeah, it's the waiting game. Look, he's just wrapped up. Dead as dead, don't have a Scooby.
And he don't even know that they're there.
Nah, boys, this is a movie. Look, bruv. No, mate, silly old Bill, bruv, look at him.
Not doing anything about it.
It's like a cartoon. There's like a joke cart. That's like a Monty Python sketch come to life of how incompetent and useless the police are. There's no reason... No reason that boy shouldn't face the full force of the law, seeing as Keir Starmer likes to use that phrase so much.
As well as other things.
All right. Been watching some Tariq Nasheed, have we? Anyway, I'm going to call it there. I know we could go on for another 5 minutes, but I don't want to cut too close. And I think I've already cut a bit close to the line on this podcast today anyway, so probably best to end it before it goes too far. So thank you all very, very much for watching. If you are a subscriber on the website, we are having a round table in half an hour talking about the flags and their effect in England. So join us for that. If you're not subscribed, screw you. If you want to get an Islander, get one right now or else. And also get yourself a Gammonzilla mug if you're in the UK. Thanks for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.